He had invented a system to preserve domestic peace. The day we were married 10 years ago, he said, we decided that all important decisions would be made by me. Small decisions were left to my wife. But when his friend asked him how it had worked out, he said, well, perfectly. There hasn't been a single hitch in the entire 10 years. Of course, he added, no important decisions have been made yet. The challenge of human existence is that life is made up of decisions, some insignificant, others crucial, some mundane, others complex. As we know from history and we also know from our own experiences that even the most trivial decisions can have a huge impact on our lives and on the lives of others. And therefore, it's not always easy for us to make decisions, especially when it comes to speaking about our faith. Now, as you know, I enjoy movies, and I often look for spiritual meanings behind certain scenes, which I'm often pretty sure the director has either not thought about or even been aware of or even intended for the film. And I think I may have talked about this scene before, but there's a great scene in one of the Indiana Jones films. Harrison Ford, Indiana, is searching for the Holy Grail, which is the cup that Christ supposedly used at the Last Supper. Of course, the evil enemy is a Nazi general, and they find the cup in a cave guarded by this medieval knight who's over 500 years old. As an aside, there's a scene that occurs right before that which is perfect about faith, and I've used that for confirmation, but that scene will have to wait for another sermon. Anyway, the evil general breaks into the room and knows that now before him are all these chalices, and if he picks the right chalice and dips it in the water that's in the font, he is supposedly going to now live forever. As I said, before him lie all these dozens of chalices of all shapes and sizes, silver and gold, inlaid with precious stones or simple clay. And he says to the knight, well, which one is it? And the knight tells him that he must choose. Of course, he chooses the wrong one, and upon sipping the water, he immediately dies. To which the knight turns to Indiana and replies, he chose poorly. Well, that was especially true in households where there were more than one culture. Let me explain some phenomena I came across. I didn't know about it at the time, but I since have learned about it. In the 1980s and 1990s, there were a lot of studies being done on a unique group of people known as TCKs, Third Cultural Kids. TCKs are persons who have spent a significant part of their formative years growing up in another country and another culture, significantly different than their parents. And so one of the common traits of TCKs is that when they become adults, they have trouble making essentially unimportant everyday decisions in a group setting. Well, one of my best friends and colleagues in Michigan, one of my early mentors, had been a missionary to the Philippines and New Guinea, and with four missionary TCKs under his roof, we used to laugh at how difficult it had become for them now, living in Pontiac, Michigan, to decide on which fast food restaurant to go to, or which video to rent. It was an extremely difficult decision. But then on the other end of the spectrum, our modern world tends to minimize the importance of all decisions and choices based on the widespread belief that there are no absolute either-or situations out there. So modern human beings want it both ways. And naively, they hope that somehow it's going to turn into good so that well, we don't have to be called on to make a final decision and experience total rejection or whatever it is that we want to keep holding on to. The great Christian apologist C.S. Lewis pointed out that this belief unfortunately only leads to disaster, because life is not like the spokes on a wheel that come down to the center of the circle, or even like tributary creeks that all sort of flow together into the main river. No, Lewis argued that life as we experience it is far more like a road that continually forks into new and different roads, or like a tree whose branches keep spreading further and further apart. He said another example that we see is from the breeding of dogs for specialization. And he said, good as it ripens becomes continuously more different, not only from evil, but from other good. So, the rescue then of those who choose wrong roads in this life consists first in stopping and then getting off the wrong road and getting on to the right one. For example, if you make an error in math, you just can't go back to the middle of the equation and try to fix it. You've got to go all the way back to the beginning and start all over. Error and evil can be undone, but time alone just doesn't heal them. They do not evolve and suddenly develop into something good. And so life very rarely, if ever, presents us with both and situations when it comes to important matters. Significant choices are always either or situations. And that is never more true than when it comes to matters of faith and life. Jesus makes that clear in the reading today as he switches around love of parents and children, the case of something that is essence good, love for our relatives, but how they war against one another, how they then radically maybe choose one thing over their discipleship and the way of God. And so what Jesus is saying here is that our choices reveal who we are. We see that truth revealed in the Bible's witness from the very beginning. You know, in the first three chapters of the Scripture, the Bible lays out the foundation for understanding who we are and why we were created. We were created in the image of God to be agents of decision. And our choices then have consequences, because the consequences in God's plan are what He has set us forth to do. And so decisions have to be made. We have to choose. But because there is potentially so much at stake, those choices aren't always easy for us. You know, whatever else the story in Genesis chapter 3 teaches us, it clearly demonstrates that choices and decisions either move us away from or toward God. The cost of discipleship is only really known when we face situations that require a decision. When we're confronted with crisis or tests, temptations that demand a choice, We often say, now, what's our faith going to do now that the rubber has hit the road? We recognize that the cost of discipleship at the crossroads and on the frontiers of our journey as Jesus directs us and carries us are often very difficult. They aren't either or. And in those decisions, we either do life and choose God's way and follow Jesus, or we do death and we choose poorly. Now, Scripture is full of stories of all kinds of choices. Moses, in his farewell sermon, for instance, set before Israel either the blessing of obedience to God or the curse of disobedience, calling the people to choose life through obedience. And perhaps one of those Bible passages that you know so well, Joshua, Moses' successor, later asked the people to choose whom they would serve, the true God or the God of their ancestors. And then he replies, "But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Ruth, a young, destitute, Moabite widow, had the reasonable opportunity to return to be with her family of origin and the faith of her ancestors. But instead, she made the choice for the living God, as she said to Naomi, her Jewish mother-in-law, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your God will be my God, and your people, my people." And as a result of that faithful decision, Ruth became the great-grandmother of King David, who became the ancestor of Jesus of Nazareth. And then 1,000 years later, a descendant of Ruth was faced with the angel's shocking announcement that would put her future completely at risk and obviously change her life and that of human history. And yet Mary responded saying, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." 30 years after that, Mary's son Jesus would ask his disciples first, "Who do you say that I am?" And then after some deserting, Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am? Do you wish to go away?" And then Peter's great words, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so in our lives, even today, there is a choice to be made. The Buddha does not have the words to eternal life. Neither did Muhammad. The words of eternal life are not some sort of cosmic force that's locked inside myself waiting to be released by some kind of self-accusation or by the wisdom of some best-selling self-help book or guru. No, the words of eternal life are the words that only Jesus has to offer. Not based on self-help, but on the opposite, the self-denial and the death of our selfish wills. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great Lutheran martyr who died at the hands of the Nazis, said, "When Christ calls a person, he bids that person come and die." That reflects the words of Jesus in our text. Taking up the cross, following Jesus, means giving up self for Jesus' sake in order to make life real for us. And so only the person who is dead to his or her own self will follow Christ. To choose life, the death of self in our affections, lusts, desires, wants, allegiances is never an easy thing. Every day we are going to encounter temptations, and every day we are going to need to ask God's Spirit to help us choose again to die to self and to take up our cross. And the choice of the cross is never easy. It wasn't for Christ, as we see in his anguish in the garden, but the choice of the cross was the right choice, the best choice. And that it happens at all has nothing to do with our strength or character or our innate abilities. That any of us manages to follow Jesus faithfully for even a minute, let alone a lifetime, is truly a miracle of God's grace. And so God's grace works its miracle on us and in us and through us, through prayer and praise and worship and Bible study, studying together, being with other believers. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, God's Spirit is the one that makes us fit to be Jesus' disciples in the world, willing and able to share with others how to find life by giving it up for Christ. For to choose the cross of Christ is the best choice of all. And when we make that choice, we will never regret it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.